A man wanted on 5 warrants for robbery is now behind bars. Escambia County deputies were called to the grocery outlet on Brent Lane for a robbery in progress. But when deputies got there, they found the suspect was already detained.
What happened on Tuesday night went a bit beyond what's in the employee handbook after a man walked into the store right before closing time.
All right, so boom, here's what happened was I let the man in the door. He said he wanted one item, right? You know what I'm saying? Being a good person I am, I let him come in.
I think that's awesome. Anthony Mobley, being the good person that I am. This is my grocery store, man. I go to this grocery store all the time. It's actually my number 3 grocery store, but the grocery outlet of Brent and Palafox, and I know most of these guys, and I don't know Anthony. I knew Daryl, but they talked about how they took this guy down. He comes in, tries to steal the money, and they're like, "Oh no, sir."
We walked past. He went towards the money.
He had grabbed the money before he tried to take it, and I ran and tackled him on the ground, knocked down everything.
And I grabbed his neck. And then I was just pulling them off the safe and then away from the money.
And then they're all sitting on them like a trophy when the deputies arrive. I mean, good job, you know? Well done. Just kind of a good news story. All turned out well. That's obviously the good news. It could have turned out otherwise. That's the problem. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
All's well that ends well, but from a law enforcement perspective, I know Chip Simmons said, look, that's what I would have done. I'm not going to fault anybody for doing it that way. It's not within the city limits of Pensacola, obviously, but your advice or guidance to employees who see stuff like this happening, or citizens?
Well, that's a decision that they have to make. Every situation is different, and you have to look at yourself, your physical condition compared to that of the perpetrator, and it's a decision you have to make on your own. And that's what you're usually going to hear from law enforcement anyway. You just have to assess the risk. And fortunately, what happened at the grocery outlet, everything turned out well, and kudos to those guys.
Hey, just because we talk a lot, you and I talk with Sheriff Simmons and Shane Tucker and all this about guns a lot. Imagine that I'm a patron, which I am frequently a patron at that grocery outlet. And let's imagine I'm carrying, which I am frequently because I do. I see a guy go for the money. Okay. He's not threatening my physical safety. He's not threatening anybody else's physical safety, but he is engaged in what looks to be a felony. What am I allowed to do aside from tackle him, if even that?
You need to use that weapon to protect yourself or others from serious bodily injury. And somebody taking money is not that. Leave that up to law enforcement. That could get really bad really quick.
All right, so the impulse to pull out a gun and say, stop or I'll shoot, no, unless we have reasonable belief that somebody's life, limb, body is in jeopardy at that moment, right?
Yeah, or if you're a property owner, it's your home, you're protecting your property, your vehicle. Those are things to also consider. So again, every situation is different, and these things have to think about them and make a decision very quickly in each and every one of them.
Right. I just know how I know how people think, and somebody's gonna be like, "Man, I tell you what, I would have done if I'd have been there." I'm like, that can become a crime. Be careful. That's why I wanted to ask you about it. It seems like it's been, and I know y'all hate this word, but quiet in the city of Pensacola this week. Is that right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to use that word anymore. if Chuck Mallett is listening, I'm sure to get a phone call from him, even though he's retired. So I like to use the word uneventful.
Okay. All right. I will take uneventful. There has been some interesting things I wanted to ask you about. One is you shared a really cool video of the LED lights being tested on Three Mile Bridge, the kind of rainbow colors. I think when Pensacon happens, we need to put a big sign up at the welcome area that says, "Welcome to Asgard," because we have the rainbow bridge connecting us. I love that. Anyway, but people, because, people are saying, "Well, I don't know. I think that light's going to be distracting to me as a driver." Mike, can you maybe explain to them the physics of how those lights cannot be seen from the roadbed surface?
Well, two things you just said. The person says to themselves, "I don't know," which is accurate. They don't. And testing is going on. So those are two words you need to remember here. So that's why they're doing it in the middle of the night. These mm-hmm. lights are beautiful. This is going to be a great landmark for Pensacola, something for all of us to be very proud of. But they are, you know, these lights are not going to be bright. They're dimmable. They're going through a testing phase. And when you're on the bridge, you just simply can't see them until you get up to the arch. And maybe the arch is one color or another color, but it's nothing that's blinding you in the face or anything like that. So for those that believe the lights on the bridge are going to be distracting, you know, they'll dim them down and they're going to be just fine. It's going to be a beautiful bridge when they're done with it.
Yeah, it's going to be the most vivid from I-110 on coming over the hump or maybe on Bayfront. You know, for everybody who's on the bridge, you're going to be like, man, I don't get what all the trouble's all about. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer from PPD. I actually had a story I definitely wanted to ask you about, so hang on for just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Somebody texted in with all the wind. Don't forget, we still have barges. Sorry, Mike. Sorry, Andrew.
And by the way, gusting at 40, by the way, in the bay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just asked Chip Simmons if there was any road closures, bridge closures, because we're kind of right in that vicinity for, like, Bob Sykes or Perdido Key Britain. But no. As of now, the answer is no. Sorry, Candy. Go ahead.
Tornado watch still in effect for Okaloosa County. Still showing a light issue in Molino at the Tom Thumb at the Atmore Cutoff. Standing water, and there's a lot of areas in Pensacola that are prone to standing water after a heavy storm, so I would certainly watch for those areas. I'm getting reports tree limbs still blocking the right lane on Barrancas. Main Street's closed. Can't turn onto Main from Barrancas. A heavy wind gust this morning, as Andrew mentioned earlier. Be very careful driving over the bridges. And showing anything else right now. Still backed up 29 southbound. This is north of 9 Mile, and it looks like there may have been an accident on the other side of the interstate. Caution there, and wherever you are, 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah, Mike, I meant to ask you, Mike Wood, Public Information Officer, do you know what's going on at Barrancas with the closures over there?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So the story that I wanted to ask you about was it came out of California, where a woman was driving by a protest and she wanted to express her solidarity for the protesters. So she honked her horn at them 14 times in short bursts. Right. Beep, 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 whatever. She got pulled over by a San Diego County Sheriff's deputy, gave her a ticket and cited her for misusing her horn that came about as a result of a 1913 law that says you're only allowed as California. Only allowed to use your horn for warning other drivers, and that held up in court. And there is no free speech violation there. That you know, the lawsuit she brought on First Amendment and 14th Amendment grounds failed, and they said that no. Basically, the judge said in order for a horn to work, it's got to be not used indiscriminately. It can only be used for this and not for that. So my question to you is: in the state of Florida, what is the law regarding the use of your horn in a car?
Well, it sounds to me like it's just like California. You only use that horn to warn people of a hazard or impending danger. But you know, it's one of those laws that we have on the books that you would really have to abuse it in order to get a ticket. I mean, I was behind a vehicle on Main Street one afternoon or one morning, and a guy was cut off by a young lady driving in front of him, and he just laid on the horn, just laid on it, and would not get off of it. And when I got him stopped, he said he was upset with her. So that's a clear misuse of the horn. But if somebody beeps it to tell you to kind of go and pay attention, put the phone down because the light's green, it's time to go. Or they beep to wave at you. You know, that's something that we're just not going to write a ticket for. But then you've got these trucks that have horns on them that are just like those on a train, which are not legal. So if you abuse those things, then you can get a ticket in Florida for that.
Interesting. So what I hear you saying is, for example, the chirp at somebody to go at the light, technically not legal. You know, honking at somebody because instead of giving them a particular digit, also not legal. Punishing somebody after the fact for interfering with you when they're not currently threatening you, not legal. Only to get attention to make people aware that there's a problem or a danger about to happen. That's the only place where you're really safe honking your horn. Do I have it right, technically?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. It's just like the sirens on emergency vehicles. We can't just go and turn them on, you know, as we're driving down Palafox to wave at one of our friends. It's going to get everybody's attention. It's going to get people's eyes off of the road, and just like it would if somebody was laying on the horn, and it could cause issues. And that's why it's illegal to do that.
All right. Well, great. My uses of the horn are often not legal. So we might have to reform my behavior
a little bit. I feel you, Andrew.
We always like to end on a myth of some kind, a cop myth or a cop question or anything like that. You have one for me this week?
Yeah, last week I talked about the crimes that are very difficult for investigators to solve. And this week it's the ones that are a bit easier. And those tend to be persons crimes. And when you consider the clearances of violent crimes, 61.6%, and these figures come from the UCR, the Uniform Crime Report, nationwide, 61.6% of murder offenses 53.3% of aggravated assault offenses, 34% of rape offenses, and 29.7% of robbery offenses were cleared. And a lot of reasons for that, Andrew, is because there are witnesses, the victim knows the perpetrator, and issues like that, because simply you have people involved. So those tend to be a little bit easier to solve than property crimes.
That makes perfect sense. Can I give a PSA, and you can just amen me if I get this right? One of the challenges of solving interpersonal crime is when the person is a stranger, and in the stressful events of being a victim, you're not paying enough attention to how they look, what they're wearing, or any of that to be able to identify them later. If you have any advice for victims in those circumstances, it's just pay attention to pay attention so that you can be able to identify the person later. Am I on track with that?
Well, yeah, I got to give that one an amen. But people are different. People handle stressful situations differently. And even police officers, after a traumatic event, they sometimes don't right off the bat remember exactly what happened, but give them a day and things begin to come back. So, yeah, everybody handles things differently in very stressful situations. So we try our best to get information from them, but sometimes we get it days later.
Yeah, that tunnel vision is super common. I've just been surprised at incidents that I've been involved in. We're like, yeah, I just don't remember. Didn't notice. And, you know, trying to be better about that. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thanks for the time and the information and the great videos this week. I appreciate it.
Thank you.